Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Make space. Make space. And this is a series on making space for God to be God. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them you need to concentrate on making some space. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell them, give me some room, give me some room. You may be seated. I put it on my notes. Every time I preach to you in 2022, get your hopes up. It's in my notes. It's on the wall. Get your hopes up. If your hopes have already waned in the first 70 days, some of you, your hopes were really high until diesel hit $5 a gallon. I told you that I didn't look at the numbers. I just went and filled up. I looked today, y'all. By my house, it was $5.19 a gallon. I said, I got enough to make it up to Pat Booker Road and check it out there. But some of us, because of gas prices, of the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, maybe it's nothing national or on the world stage. Maybe it's something private happening in your life that hope has been robbed. I'm here to remind you, and that's why it's good to come to church more than once a week. Get your hopes up. Say, what am I? Your number one, your hope should be established in Jesus. But when you read the word, and that's what we're doing right now, we get in the word of God, the hope that is found in Jesus should grow in Jesus' name. There are four things in the next few weeks here in March that I want, and my hope is that this series will do in all of us. Number one, my hope is that we will identify and do away with anything and everything that is preventing us or you from fully following Jesus. See, by you being here on a Wednesday night does not mean that you are fully following Jesus. It means you followed him on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Sunday at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you follow him to this room. But I'm here to tell you, it takes more than 3 or 4 hours to be a real follower of Jesus. Being a follower of Jesus is Monday, Tuesday, all the way through until Sunday. But it really isn't considered following Jesus until you follow him somewhere you don't want to go. Some of us say we're following Jesus and we happen to be just walking in the same direction as him. But then when Jesus takes that right turn and we look and we say, man, I really don't want to go there. That is when true submission and obedience, saying, God, I will follow you into the valley because I know, God, that you will not leave me in the valley, but there is a mountaintop and there is a next that you are taking me. Number two, we hope this series will help us identify and do away with anything and everything that is preventing us from going all in. All in is kingdom. I'm glad you got saved, if you're saved. If not, this is the good place for you to be because we're going to ask you and encourage you to give your life to Jesus by the end of this night. But for those of us that are saved, if you're saved, just wave your hand and say, I'm saved. Come on now. Yeah, that's most of us. Now we're talking about kingdom. We know the king who is the door to kingdom. And so when we talk about all in, not all in meaning, God, I want everything that's coming to me, but God, I want to do everything and be everything that you've called me to be. Well, here's a good one. Number three, we're through this series, we're going to help you declutter your spirit. Some of us got way too much stuff. Some of us got way too much clutter. And where where clutter is, and this is not in my notes, and we'll get to that maybe, but I just hear this phrase, where clutter is, clarity is not. Some of us have been praying, God, give me clarity. And God's saying, I'll give you clarity when you give me your stuff. Same thing that he asked this young man to do. He said, I want you to give everything you have away. Sell it. Follow me. What he's saying is I'll give you direction when you give me all of your stuff. Create, number four, to create space spiritually and physically or tangibly for what God is wanting to do through you and in you. God was not calling this young man for a season. He was calling him for a lifetime. in a split second, this young man makes a decision that is the wrong decision. But he is not prepared to make that decision, makes the wrong decision. The Bible says his countenance falls and he walks away sad. Can I tell you that our hope is that when you leave this building, every time that these doors are open, no matter what day it is, that you hear about Jesus, you're encouraged by the word, sometimes chastised by the word. But remember, God never breaks you down unless he's going to build you up. But our goal is that when you leave this building tonight, church, that you are going to be inspired to follow Jesus no matter where that takes you, no matter who it takes you from and puts you with. But I am a follower of Jesus. We don't want anybody preached to in such a way that they leave here feeling worse about their future or their situation. The only way that can happen is if you're not ready to let go. And I want to encourage you, church, let go of whatever you've been holding on to from your past. Let go of good so that you can embrace great. Let go of better so you can embrace best. So creating space spiritually, making space spiritually and physically for what God wants to do through us and in us. How many of you love dessert? Just raise your hand. Some of us, you can tell we love dessert, at least carbs anyway. I love dessert. I don't know. My favorite dessert is cheesecake, in case anybody wants to know. New York style cheesecake with strawberries, raspberry, it don't matter. But I love ice cream, y'all. And there are some people in this room that we found out a few years ago that were straight up talking blasphemy, saying that Creamy Creations is as good as Blue Bell. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The only time I ate Creamy Creations is when they shut down the Blue Bell plant. Somebody said, I can't believe you'd eat Blue Bell after it was making everybody sick and a couple people died. I said, it's so good, I'm willing to take that risk. A few years ago, we found word that people were, and they're all over viral videos of people taking the tops off of Blue Bell and licking them and putting them back in the freezer. See, that's gross. I could never. Saints, I'm willing to take that risk. That's why I pray over my food. Say, where are you going with this? I'm always going somewhere. I don't know about you, but there's been many times when I've eaten a full meal and I've pushed back from the table and said, man, I'm so full, until the waiter comes out or the wait staff comes out and says, will you be having dessert? And even then, I'll say, I'm good, I'm just so full, until Mandy orders a piece of cheesecake. Or somebody orders that chocolate cake that's warm and they put the Blue Bell on top. It's amazing how full I thought I was till I found out there was something more and something. Can I encourage somebody? Some of us have been living and walking with God so long that we say, oh, we're full. We have arrived, but I am here to tell you there is more to Jesus than we know. There is more to learn. There is a deeper relationship. There is more to follow. And I know I'm preaching to the proverbial choir on a Wednesday night. Like Tyler said, you left work, you left school to come to church tonight. But I want to encourage you, if you've been walking with God for 4 months, there's more. If you've been walking with God for 4 decades, there's more. What are we talking about? Making space for God to do something more and for God to do something new. I found that to be true. There's always room for more. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We'll go to the King James Version, then we're going to read 9 through 12 in the NIV, and this is probably as far as we will get tonight. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. I made this, rightly dividing the word of truth, I made this discovery this week while I began to unpack this. The Bible says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, that it has not entered into the heart of man. You know, the heart is where we do our real thinking. Ephesians 3:20, to the God that is able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. And then I love that the very same author said, God is doing more or can do even more than you can think. What does that mean? If you can think it, there's more. You can think the biggest thing about Jesus, and Jesus says you're barely scratching the surface. That's why I love when Jesse Duplantis comes to this church, because he inspires my faith to look at Jesus in a different way, to look at Jesus in a greater way. And some of us have used Jesus as a get-out-of-hell-free card, but I'm going to tell you, he is so much. Not only is he my Savior, he's my Lord, he's my King, he's my advocate, he's my counselor, he's my lawyer, he's my doctor, he's my best friend, he is the lily of the valley, he brings me to, he's everything that I need him to be, and so much more. It is not entered into the heart of man. We cannot even think or put it into words how great God is and what he has planned for the believers. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. This tells me that he's not talking about heaven, because he said things. The things which he has prepared for who? Those that love him. If you love Jesus, Living Way, you're going to continually make space for him. If you love Jesus, you are going to continually make time for him. If you love Jesus, you are going to make time to serve him. You are going to make time and make ways to give to him. I want to encourage you tonight, Living Way, in this room and online, you may be watching, and you might have been walking with God for a long time, but I want to encourage you over the next couple weeks, dig in your prayer time and say, God, let me root out some things. Let me get rid of some things that no longer I need in my life, and let me create space for you to do something new in my life. Making space for Jesus. We won't get to it tonight, but this entire conversation that he has with the rich young ruler, he is asking him to make space. Go sell everything you have, make space. Give it all to the poor, make space. Follow me, that's making time, that's making space. His entire conversation, and Jesus is not begging and pleading with him. It is a matter of fact. This is what you need to do, and come follow me. And the Bible says his countenance falls and he walks away sad, because he was not willing to make space for something new, because he was so in love with what he had, the old. Can I encourage you, no matter how great it is, do not hold on to something now that is going to prevent you from holding on to what God has for you in your future. Eye has not seen nor ear heard. It hasn't entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It's proof that you love Jesus on a Wednesday night. You're at church. That's a love that most people don't know. Most of us in here during worship, Pastor Becky wasn't sitting on at the keyboard, but there were still hands uplifted. You know what that means? It's not contingent on one person. It's not contingent on a style, not contingent on a song, but hands were still up. Why? Because it's about Jesus. God, I love you. God, I'm one of those people that, God, I haven't heard it. I haven't seen it. It hasn't entered into my mind, my heart, of the things you prepared. I love you, verse 10. But God hath revealed, here it is, them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I know we've got a lot of newer people at Living Way. I know that when we start talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, people get tight. I know that people that don't understand it, remember, most of the time when you don't understand something, you automatically withdraw from it. But I'm here to tell you, learn about it. getting the word of God about it. The book of Acts never ended. Chapter 28 was the last chapter in the Bible, but you're looking at Acts chapter 29. This church is Acts chapter 29. The same thing that happened in those apostles are happening in these apostles. The same thing that happened in those disciples is happening, and we don't want you to be scared. We'll be glad to sit down and talk to anybody that wants to talk about it, but the Bible says right here, your ear hasn't heard it, your eye hasn't seen it, your heart hasn't thought it, but the Spirit knows. So if the Spirit knows, and I'm full of the Spirit, when I quit praying in English, or you quit praying in Spanish, or Portuguese, or German, or Russian, whatever languages you know, and you start interceding in the Spirit, you are now talking about the things which you cannot see. Come on, church. This is teaching now, which you cannot hear. The things that have not entered into your brain, between your ears. He said, the Spirit knows all things. And I am so glad to tell you that I received that Spirit in 1999. Some of you received that Spirit a couple days ago. Some of you received that Spirit a couple decades ago. But you should be glad that you have the Spirit, not that you can speak in another tongue. That is the evidence of it. But the reason I'm excited about it is it guides me. It leads me into all truth. It is a power. It expedites the process, expedites what God is doing. But one of the reasons I love the Spirit is when I start praying in the Spirit, I'm praying for things that I don't even know about, because my eye can't handle them, my ear can't handle them, my heart can't handle them. But God said, my Spirit created it. It can handle it. It knows it. And you've got my Spirit. So when you pray in the Spirit, you're preparing yourself for those things. That's another great reason why you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. English ends, Spirit begins. At the end of the day, y'all, we can pray for an hour, but I can run through the list. You're going to pray for yourself. You're going to pray for your health. You're going to pray for your money. You're going to pray for your marriage. You're going to pray for your kids. You're going to pray for your family. You're going to pray for your job. You're going to pray for your country. You're going to pray for your leaders. You're going to pray for your ministry. You're going to pray for your church. After that, there's not much left to pray about. You can break it down, but when I get done praying in English, I start praying in the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Every time I pray in English, it's usually about what is happening or my vision for what is about to happen. But when I pray in the Holy Ghost, it is literally the thing that I see in my vision. It is creating those things. It is bringing those things. See, when I prayed in English, I pray every day for my kids. Every time we've ever had a night of prayer and I've walked these aisles just like I do at my house, I pray for Tyler. I pray for Jaden. I'm praying, number one, God, I want them to be saved. I want them to love you, Jesus. Whether they ever serve in ministry on the platform, God, if they're going to be doctors, let them be Spirit-filled doctors that love you, Jesus. Sit on the front row of a church and serve somewhere. But I prayed over them. But you know what I also prayed since they were very little? I prayed over their future spouses. Now Tyler's engaged. I didn't know her name was Alyssa. The Holy Ghost did. So I would say, God, I pray, Lord, that you are raising up a young woman of God that loves you, that seeks you, God, that loves you with all of her heart, that is serving you. But when I ran out of things to declare and pray about, and I began to pray in the Holy Ghost was calling her by name. The Holy Ghost was keeping her pure. The Holy Ghost was marking her. The Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you, the Holy Ghost can do more in 30 seconds of your prayer than you could do in 3 hours of English or Spanish. That's why we want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, so that when your ears quit, your eyes quit, your heart doesn't understand, the Spirit makes up the difference. And little did we know that over the last couple years, Alyssa was in a church here in San Antonio, giving her life to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Went to Steele High School. She's driven by this church umpteen times. Never had been here before. She was going to another church where she gave her life to Jesus Christ. She was going to another church where she got baptized in water, where she started serving in a ministry. What are you talking about? I'm talking about while I was praying in English and I was handling what I could, the Spirit of God was doing what I could not do, what I did not know. And I'm here to tell you, He will do the same for you in any situation you want. We make the Holy Ghost so spooky when it is so practical. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now is available to us. I want that Spirit because anything I need done is less than the resurrection. Oh, you missed that point. That's probably the best thing I've said all night, y'all. Anything you need done is less than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that raised Him from the dead now dwells in you, quickens your mortal body, which makes it alive, which means that cancer cannot stand against that Spirit. Divorce cannot stand against that Spirit. Confusion cannot stand against that Spirit. Depression cannot stand against that Spirit. That's why I believe if you speak in tongues and pray in tongues, depression can't wrap its arms around you. If you live in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, speak in the Spirit, all of the stuff in this world, it bounces right off of you. It knows what to do with Brandon. It has no clue what to do with the Holy Ghost. It knows what to do with Sister Tammy. It don't know what to do with the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of her. Sister Tammy, I'm going to pay you one of the highest compliments ever. Mario said, hey, that Tammy Green, when he first met you, he said, that lady's a real deal. I said, man, you don't even know. You've known her for like 3 minutes. I've known her for 2+ decades. She is the real deal. If you don't want to hear the truth of God, you don't want to talk to her because she's going to hit you with the Holy Spirit. That Spirit that is on her, she like Pastor Becky. They might be little in stature, but there's a lion on the inside of them. It's called the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. So the Spirit is searching the depths of God. I'm in love with the passion of the portion of Scripture that says, deep calls deep. And I sincerely believe this, church, that the superficial can never understand the supernatural. That's why so many people can come to a church like Living Way and see the expression of deep worship. Come on now. See the expression of a real move and experience with God and walk away saying, that's too much. They can't be falling out like that. I was talking to one of my friends today. He said, the first time I came to Living Way, he said, Eric Wellington ran past me going up that aisle. He said, I was scared to death. He said, I didn't know a lot about church, but I knew that wasn't normal. To him, to flesh, but deep calls deep. Never let someone who is wading in the shallow waters, playing in the kiddie pool with their floaties on their arms, let them never minimize the deepness that God has called you to and the commitment that God has called you to. I'm encouraging someone tonight that people have been talking that you go to that church and you go too much and you do too much. They're shallow believers if they're believers, because deep will never question deep. Deep calls to deep and deep answers deep. And so when my flesh, listen, church, is too shallow to comprehend the depths of what God is doing, God says, hey, Brandon, let your Spirit take this one. This is over your pay grade. There's a lot of us in here. We're trying to understand spiritual things with this brain, with carnality and with the flesh, and you'll never understand it. I still revel in the moments when that young man was filled with the Holy Ghost. And over here, another young man filled with the Holy Ghost. I still revel in those moments because it's one of those things that you cannot explain until it happens to you. And then when it happens to you, you know that it was real. I was sent a message, an awesome message. And let me just encourage people watching today, and I'm looking at the red light, people watching today that maybe you moved out of San Antonio or you grew up in this church and went to kids' church or youth church. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Let us know how this ministry impacted you. And I say that because there's a woman in her, I guess, mid-20s, and she's married to a man that went in the political arena. And so they're doing great things for our nation. They are public servants, and they're doing incredible things. And she wrote Mandy and I the nicest message the other day on Facebook. And we haven't seen this young lady in years. And she said, I want to thank you. Because she said, when I was going to GX, that was the old youth ministry, she said, I remember those services where the Holy Spirit settled on us. And she said, I remember, she started naming leaders. I remember them laying hands on me and me being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember what God did in those moments. And she said, I left and I went to a Christian university. And my flesh really began to question, did those things really happen? And the Spirit of God said, oh, not only did they happen, they're still in you. And she gave us this great testimony. And she said, I see what God is doing in younger generations at Catalyst. And I see all the live events and the theater that you, and she did all of these things. She said, I just feel it in my spirit that I want to sow into that. How can I give to this next generation? I gave her an easy way to give. And she sent $340 this week to Catalyst. She said, I want to be part of that. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a young lady that shoved off into deep waters at 14 and 15. And at 21 and 22, she was still drawing from those waters. And 10 or 12 years later, mid to late 20s, a mother, married, a career woman, doing great things. She's still saying, I'm still drawing from the depths that I dove into. Make space. Make room. God is taking you deeper than you've ever been. Make room. God has plans to take you further than you've ever been. Some of us need to get off the coastline, and we need to remember the biggest fish are in deep waters. The greatest things are in deep waters, but you're going to have to grow in faith and say, I can lose sight of the shoreline if Jesus is the captain of my boat. Deep calls deep. A couple more minutes. As deep calls deep, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9, again, but this time in the New International Version. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now let's go further, verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, I love this, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. If you've ever said, I wish I knew what God was doing. I wish I knew what God was going to do. I wish I knew what God was thinking. I've been married 19 years, and I prayed a million times, I wish I knew what Mandy was thinking. Because I said the wrong thing. I looked at it wrong. Something happened. But there's a lot of times in our relationship with God, we're following him. And we're seeking after him. And then he does something that we've never seen him do. Says something we've never heard him say. And a lot of times we pause in those moments. But the writer here says this, Paul says, he says, the only one that knows thoughts is the man's spirit, and the same is with God. If you want to know what God is going to do, you have to have his spirit. If you want to know what God is saying, you must have his spirit. That's why we encourage every believer to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Verse 12, what we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. The day you got saved, not only did your blood type change, because now you've got the blood of Jesus covering you. Not only did your nature change, not only did your eternity, your destination, your direction, not only that did that change, God said, hey, I'm going to give you a new spirit. And that old spirit you have only thinks about carnal thoughts, carnality, how you can do it. But the spirit, it thinks God thoughts. It searches the depths of who God is and whispers. It whispers vision. You say, where did that vision come from? God's spirit in you. You were praying, God, give me vision. And the spirit in you said, oh, let me go search the depths of God. Let me go get a God thought, and went and got a thought from God. And while you were sleeping, boom, he put it in you. And you rolled over and woke up at 3:30 a.m. And you said, what was that? Oh, it was God answering your prayer. And where your flesh and where carnality and where our mind ended, God began in us. And that's why when God wakes you up, don't go back to sleep. Type that vision out. Get up and pray on it. Get up and talk to God about it. Why? Because God will let you know what he's doing by his spirit. Making room means spending time with God, but making room means, God, give me your spirit so that I can know what you're doing in me and through me. Stand on your feet, church. I believe that every believer in this room, and I realize there have been people living for God for 50 years. There's more. I believe that if you've been walking with God for 2 weeks, I know there's more.